Hey y'all, it's A Few Minutes with the Pew podcast. I'm Lily.
And I'm Maddie.
And we have a passion to see people make Jesus number one in their everyday lives.
We want to get serious about being serious for Jesus. Will you join us?
Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. We're really excited to have you here and joining us in the studio for yet another episode. Today we are doing something a little bit different. I thought that it would be fun to have a different take from each of us about something that we all have to learn before we can lead others well. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it would be fun to get both Maddie and I's takes on this. And we kind of discussed what we were going to do beforehand, just because we didn't want to have the same answer. And surprisingly, guess what, guys? We both had the same thought.
We knew that was going to happen. That's why we had to talk about it, because I knew when I came up with mine, I was like, Lily's probably going to do this, and then I'm going to have to like rephrase mine or rethink it because she's going to pull the seniority card and all the things.
So rude. Anyway, I can't believe that you would automatically assume that. That's what went through my head.
Mm-hmm. I automatically think the worst of you, Holly. I'm just kidding, everyone.
Anyways, so today we are going to, I guess, contemplate with you guys one lesson that we would both say we ourselves have to learn before we can lead others well. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is a really interesting question because there are so many different things that I think we truly do have to learn. And I would say we've just kind of picked one of our top things that we think is really crucial to learn yourself before you can lead others. But there are really so many characteristics. There are so many things. We should really just start with like the fruit of the Spirit, honestly.
Yeah.
Because that's really where you have to start. That's the basic stuff before you can lead others. And if you can do that, if you can learn those, and you can learn them in a really genuine way, an authentic way, then you will be able to lead others in them even more effectively.
Yeah.
Anyways, with that being said, we know that that really is the basic stuff that we have to start with. But moving on from that, what are some other specific things, I guess, that we have to learn and cultivate in ourselves, lessons that we have to truly humble ourselves enough to learn and really bring ourselves to this point where we recognize, like, if I don't do this well, then I can't expect someone else to do this well. And I definitely can't tell them to do this when I'm not doing this, because that would make us hypocrites, right?
Yeah.
And this is what we see happening in the church all the time now. And why a lot of people are honestly scared to even step foot in a church, because they have seen hypocrisy in their everyday lives with people at the workplace or people at the gas station or people at restaurants who claim to be Christians, and then they act completely different than what they think a Christian should do or how a Christian should behave. If you're lost, then just don't hide that and try to pretend like you know something different or you are something different.
Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I don't even know why I'm going into all of that. But the whole point is that we are both going to chat about two things that we believe are non-negotiable when it comes to what we need to learn before we can truly lead others well. So Maddie, start us off and just share a little bit about what came to your mind when I asked you what you thought about this.
Okay, well, right off the bat, I actually thought of something that I heard earlier this week that really hit me. I don't know why necessarily. It was just the way that this was phrased. And when I heard it, I immediately went to write it down. And I heard this thing where this guy was talking about humility and how important it is in life and how it can really make or break a person. And I've always known this, that humility is a really, really important part of any good leader. And honestly, that is why we don't have any, because I think in our experience, pride has always been the biggest and most prevalent problem in any Christian leader that we've encountered. And you'd think that that would not be so, because they're Christians. And I think that humility should be one of the very first and most important things that we learn to cultivate and focus on as Christians. And yet so many people in Christian leadership do have a lot of pride issues. And I think pride is honestly one of the easiest sins to fall into without even realizing that you're falling into it. So I'm not necessarily saying that, like, oh my goodness, you know, everyone in Christian leadership is a terrible person or is prideful, because the good leaders that I know are not prideful. So I know that it's also possible to be humble. But I also think that that is definitely a sin that can creep in really, really easily, just because as human beings, we are vain. We like to know that people think highly of us. We like to think highly of ourselves because we think we're so smart and we have such a great handle on things. Mm-hmm. But in all likelihood, that is not the case for any of us. Definitely not the case for me. But as I was listening to this, the host said that humility is obviously one of the most important things that we can cultivate. And the way that he explained it was, you can either fall in love with what you know, or you can fall in love with what you don't know. Mm-hmm. And you have to choose very carefully. Because if we automatically fall in love with what we know, we never learn anything new. Mm-hmm. And we automatically think, I have all the answers. I know what's going on here. I am the expert on this in the room. I'm, you know, the smartest person here. And no one even comes close to knowing what I do because I already have all of this knowledge. So you could never possibly teach me anything. That's where pride, especially in leadership, comes in a lot, because in my experience, just leaders that I have observed, and obviously I'm still very young and still learning these things. This episode is not to say Lily and I have learned these things. Like, yeah, we have these down pat, because I am not the most humble person in the world, like, by any means. And I was actually just convicted about that literally like 30 minutes before we sat down to record this, but we won't talk about that. And so I am not the most humble person in the world, but I know that that's something that I do need to continue to cultivate in my life, because that is extremely important. And I think that's where humility starts, is recognizing that you are prideful and then repenting of that, because you can't be humble while still trying to trick yourself into thinking that you're not prideful, because that in itself, I believe, is a form of pride, because you think like, oh yeah, well, I can make myself humble. I can be humble without admitting that I don't know things, without admitting that I still have a lot to learn. And so that, for me, the way that he said that, in you can either fall in love with what you know, or you can fall in love with what you don't know, that just kind of opened my eyes to what humility really looks like in a very practical and very real life sense. Because the people that I have encountered who have a pride problem, that immediately manifests itself in, you cannot possibly teach me anything. Mm-hmm. I know what I need to know, so be quiet. I don't need to learn from you. I don't need to take your advice on anything. I know how to handle this situation. And I think that a lot of those leaders mistake that pride for confidence. And pride and confidence are two extremely different things. Because honestly, I think that the most confident leader is confident in the fact that he doesn't know everything, and confident in the fact that he can learn new things. And that's what sets him apart from the prideful leader who says, I already know everything I need to know. You could never teach me anything. Right. So that really, I don't know why, just opened my eyes the way that that was phrased. And then I really made a conscious decision to say, like, I want to be in love with what I don't know. Because when you love something, you pursue it. So I want to spend my life pursuing the things that I don't know. I want to spend my life pursuing new and important things that are going to help me become a better leader. And I want to pursue things that I am not yet educated on, but that I want to be, because learning is obviously a lifetime, an eternal pursuit. Mm-hmm. And so the people who immediately think by the age of 20 years old, by the time you graduate college, by the time you graduate seminary, the people who think they know everything then, I feel really bad for them, because I don't think that you can truly and completely pursue eternity if you're not pursuing knowledge. And you just devalue your life in so many ways when you fall in love only with what you know and think that there is nothing that you don't know. And so for me, that is the most important lesson that I think any leader can learn. Because if you fall in love with what you don't know, you will pursue it, and then you will end up being the smartest person in the room. You will be the very confident leader who knows, okay, I don't necessarily need to take advice from everyone because I do have experience in this area, but if they offer me something valuable, I am going to take their advice. I'm going to listen to what they have to say because I know that I am not all-knowing, all-powerful, all-knowledgeable about everything and know how to handle every situation perfectly. But when a leader is open to input, open to good advice from other leaders who have led longer than they have, who have pursued what they don't know and fallen in love with it before this current leader, I definitely think that that is so important, to fall in love with what you don't know and to then take advice from those kinds of leaders who have done the same mm-hmm. and who have also pursued what they don't know so that they can know more and be more equipped to handle certain situations. So that was something that I was already contemplating. So when Lily asked me, like, come up with something for this type of episode, that just immediately came to my mind, because that's something that earlier this week I really did make a conscious decision to be like, okay, here's what humility looks like very, very practically. Because I think sometimes it's hard to nail that down and figure out how you actually practice humility without degrading yourself and being mm-hmm. like, oh, I know nothing and I just need everyone to teach me everything. No, like, be confident in what you do know, but don't limit yourself in that. Be open to knowing more. And that is where a lot of us fail, because we mm-hmm. think that because we have MA after our name, because we've graduated college, graduated seminary, we have a doctorate, you know, we know all. And then you end up being the dumbest person in the room, because if someone else in that room is open to learning more than you are, they automatically are smarter than you right. because that is the pursuit of our life. It should be. But unfortunately, in the 21st century, that is becoming a lost art in a lot of ways, because I do think that acquiring knowledge is an art, and it is something that you do have to cultivate. It's a lesson that you have to learn over and over and over again as you learn more and more new things, and as you mm-hmm. fall more in love with what you don't know. And you constantly have to beat back that feeling of like, oh, well, I already know this. You know, people are going to offer you some dumb advice sometimes, and you're going to know that it's dumb, and you're going to be like, what in the world? Like, I know that I shouldn't take that kind of advice. That's fine. But you don't need that for a little ego boost to be like, oh, don't need to learn that lesson because I already did. Like, be reminded, yeah, I learned that lesson because I fell in love with what I don't know. Mm-hmm. So if this person ever comes and offers me some kind of valuable advice, something that I didn't know before, I'm going to be open to receiving that. I'm not going to automatically be like, oh, well, I already know everything that I need to know. Mm-hmm. I'm already the best leader I could possibly be, because then you really do ground yourself in being the worst possible leader that you could be.
Mm-hmm. And I think another thing, I'm just reminded of like a whole bunch of different things as you're talking. A good leader is really able to discern between who do I want advice mm-hmm. from, who should I take advice from,
yeah,
and who should I maybe, you're always going to consider everything that is said in the room, but it doesn't mean that you have to apply it to your life or mm-hmm. that you have to do something with it necessarily. Sometimes the wisest thing to do in a situation is to not take that person's advice.
And I so think we actually talked about that a few weeks ago, didn't we?
In, I think so.
In like a rapid fire episode or something, we were talking about having that very specific group of people where
It was your blog post about, so you want to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You specifically decide, these are the people that I am always going to bring my right. issues to, and I'm always going to lay out a problem that I'm dealing with, and I'm going to take advice from them. And right. other people may try and offer me advice. Okay, fine. This group will take it under consideration, but ultimately they will be the ones that I look mm-hmm. to for help with a final decision. And then that final decision ultimately comes down to you and Jesus.
Right. Because good leadership is always checked. Mm-hmm. It always has accountability.
Yeah.
And that's where we see tyrants come into power, is when they don't yeah. have that accountability. They don't have that inner circle that they are checked by constantly. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is, I once heard a pastor talk about how he had his inner circle, more or less just a very small group that he met with that were all saved and had different yeah. backgrounds and different stories and different conversion stories and all this good stuff. And he said that before he preached, he would always share with them, like, here's what the Lord's been working on me with. Here's what I've been thinking about. Here's what I think, like, you know, somewhat of an outline, I guess, of his sermon and stuff. And he said, that's one of the most powerful things I've ever done, because he said, I chose intentionally, these people are going to be the people who hold me accountable, mm-hmm. who make sure that I'm preaching what is biblical and what is true and what is right and what's going to help the congregation. And he said, and sometimes I would be so stuck in my own ways and stuck in my own mindset that these people really expanded my horizon and they really opened my eyes to, how about you think about it in just a little bit of a different way? Yeah. And he said, and those were the most powerful sermons and life-transforming sermons that I've ever preached in my ministry. And I just found that really encouraging and challenging as I try to do that in my own life and in our Bible study and different things. Mm-hmm. I'm always trying to run my ideas and everything by, you know, Maddie and our small group and, you know, even the girls. I'm teaching you this, but what do you think about it? And what are your thoughts? Like, open my mind to what I might be missing in this passage or mm-hmm. what, you know, I may be missing in this situation or about this person or whatever. And so that has been really life transforming. And the good leader is able to do that. And I think what makes humility so hard in terms of knowledge is that knowledge continually and constantly reminds you of how little you do know.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a constant heart check. It's a constant yeah. reminder of you have to be humble because you don't know very much and you don't know what you can know, but you can begin to possess that slowly, piece by piece, bit by bit. And I think that that really is why so many leaders shy away from loving what they don't know is because it mm-hmm. is convicting because it just constantly reminds you of how little you know and how humble you really need to be mm-hmm. in this situation in order to learn even just this little bit of knowledge or this little bit of wisdom that you could obtain if you would just humble yourself.
Yeah.
And so I think that's why a lot of leaders shy away from that and they don't want to learn that characteristic or they don't want to cultivate that in their own lives because it's just this constant heart check. It's this yeah. constant conviction that you're going to feel if you want to chase after wisdom. But is this not what we see in the book of Proverbs? Constantly mm-hmm. like, listen, my son, to this instruction. Listen to what I'm saying. If you pursue wisdom, you will gain knowledge. If you pursue these things, you will have wisdom in the end and you will cultivate that in your everyday life and it will be worthwhile to you. Mm-hmm. It is more valuable than anything else. And I think that we just really need to remind ourselves of that. And as I was contemplating this question, one of the things that really just stuck out to me was I was just kind of reminded of what I've had to learn in the beginning of ministry and just very formative years of my life as a young person. And I was thinking about how valuable it is, how valuable the lesson is of waiting well. And I know that we've talked about this a little bit before. We actually talked about it around this time last year. And sometimes waiting can be really difficult. We all know mm-hmm. this. You feel stuck a lot of times. You feel like you're not moving. You feel like you're not progressing. You feel like you need to act, but you know you're not supposed to yet. And it's this constant debate in your own mind, in your heart, and in your head of, does the Lord want me to move? Does he want me to be still? How do I be still if he wants me to stay in mm-hmm. that state right now? How do I even do that when I have all of these opportunities and options around me and people telling me 1,000 different things? And how do I do that? How do I wait well? And one thing that I have found is that I'm always going to be waiting on something. I am always going to be waiting in this life. You're always going to be waiting yeah. to graduate or to get married or to have kids or to buy this house or to buy this car or to go on this trip or to receive a new job promotion or whatever it may be in your life. You're always going to be waiting on something. There's mm-hmm. always something in the future that you're anticipating and looking towards, which is a good thing because it keeps us hopeful. It keeps us moving forward in life. It would be a very bad thing if life didn't move like that and yeah. we didn't have options and we didn't have to act on things. And the Lord does not want us to be stagnant. He doesn't want us to just remain comfortable all mm-hmm. the time. That's not the point of waiting well. And I think there's a huge difference between being indecisive and scared and waiting on the Lord and acting when he says to act. There's a huge difference between that. And sometimes we confuse the waiting season with, well, maybe I'm just being indecisive. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm just scared of what's next and I'm not ready to act and I'm not willing to. And it can be really confusing. And the enemy uses the waiting period to distract us and to make us anxious and to get us so fixated on ourselves and our problems yeah. and what we have going on that we're so self-focused, we're so self-consumed that we miss what God's doing in the midst of that waiting season. Maybe in the midst of you feeling stuck, he's trying to lead you to something better. He's trying to show you that there are people around you who may be going through the same thing and they need someone to relate with. with. They need mm-hmm. someone to say, like, I know this is hard. I don't know what to do in this situation either, but I am going to stay faithful no matter what happens in this. And yeah. I will act when he says to act, but I'm going to keep waiting until he says to act. I'm not going to rush forward. And what I see so many people doing in ministry, and especially in ministry, there is so much waiting. I did not realize yeah. this before starting ministry, but there is so much waiting in ministry. You are constantly waiting on someone to come back, someone to reach out, mm-hmm. someone to answer that text message or phone call, someone to do this or to do that. And I think that you have to really learn how to do that well, because in the beginning of ministry, I did not do that well. And I will confess that with all of you guys, because I did not do that well. I thought, like, you know, they don't care. They're not mm-hmm. here. They're not, you know, all the things. And I really got so self-consumed with that. And I was looking at, well, how do I feel? How do I think they should yeah. live? How do I think they should make this choice or not, or whatever? And it was really easy for me to focus on my desires and my wants and my needs, that I wasn't really waiting well. I mm-hmm. wasn't waiting for them to come when the Lord wanted them to. And he was teaching me so much in that time that I think I missed so much in that time. I really do. I think I missed many of the valuable lessons that the Lord was trying to show me in that time. And I was like a toddler throwing a tantrum that was like, no, I don't want to learn that. If I had to use an analogy, I guess I would say it's almost like when you're feeding a toddler their dinner and what they really want is the dessert that's next. And any good parent knows that even though the meal is not what the child actually wants, it's what they need before the dessert. They know that that is necessary for their well-being. They know they won't eat the meal if they have the dessert first. And we see two different reactions to this. And we've all, if you have been in children's ministry, you know how this goes, okay? Or if you've been a parent, or if you've babysat, or
that's,
anything.
That's where the real patience is, y'all. The children's ministry.
It really is. We see some toddlers who submit to their parents and eat their dinner and then have their dessert and are content, right? And this doesn't mean they want to eat the meal or are happy about it, but they get both and they learn a valuable lesson in the process. On the other hand, though, some are not content, throw tantrums, and throw the dinner plate right over the side of the high chair, and they don't get their meal or dessert and don't learn any valuable lessons. And I think that that's what a lot of us are doing, and that's what I was doing in the beginning stages of ministry. I will just be honest with you guys about that. I was like the toddler who God's trying to get me to eat this meal and to be patient, even though it may not be my favorite, and to go through this process with him. And I'm just like, no, I don't want any of it. And I throw the meal and the dessert off the high chair and I don't end up getting either. And I don't learn the lesson that was in that process. This is what I think a good leader has to learn before they can lead others well, because everyone is going to spend most of their life waiting mm-hmm. on something. And we have to learn how to do that well. And in the midst of that process, there is much to be learned for the leader. And once they learn that, and that's a continual process as well, they can invite someone else into that process with them because they're going to be going through the same thing. And then we both together, and this is really just a beautiful picture of the discipleship relationship and how the Lord uses our struggles and our circumstances and our problems to lead us back to himself and teaching us how to grow in community with others, because we come to rely upon him and his steadfastness and his constant and good character to us mm-hmm. in the midst of our waiting seasons. And then we can invite other people into that. We can show them how to wait well, how to allow their suffering to produce endurance, to produce something that is beautiful and worthwhile. And we get to do that together. And I just think that if we don't learn that first, then how can you ever, in a situation where you're discipling someone or you're just having a conversation with someone and they're struggling through something, or they're debating on what choice they should be making, or, you know, a decision that they have to make soon, how can you tell them what to do, or how can you lead them in that if you're the toddler throwing both the meal and the dessert off the high chair and not learning anything in your own life? Mm-hmm. You can't do that. And so that's what I would say. I would go back in those years where I really was that toddler. I would redo that That's something that I think would be so valuable and would have been so valuable, and what the Lord was trying to show me in those early seasons of ministry was, this is something that you're going to have to learn so that you can help others down the road. And thank the Lord, I feel like I have come to that realization where I have had to humble myself and have had to go, you know what? I don't want to just make rash decisions. I don't want to just go after and pursue my own wants and needs. I want something bigger than myself. I want something that's so much better than just me and constantly focusing on me. And even though I have struggles, and even though I'm still wading through things and waiting for things to happen in the future, just like we all are, I am content in that because I know that He's teaching me things that I need to be taught and things that I could be taught no other way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, guys, we are going to wrap it up here. We hope that you guys enjoyed this episode, that it was maybe encouraging to you. Maybe it highlighted some things in your life that you feel like you need to work on before you can become a good leader like it did for us. And we hope that you just learned something from this, that it encouraged you. Maybe you are in that kind of waiting season where you feel like you're waiting on everything and nothing's happening and you can't do anything in this stage of life where you're at. You can. It might just look different than what you expected it to look like. We have both learned that lesson many times over.
Yes.
And continue to learn it, because both of the things that we brought up are continual things that you just constantly have to practice and constantly have to keep learning. So fall in love with what you don't know so that that's not as miserable to you. Because if you don't, then it's going to be pretty miserable to try and go through the same things over and over again. And then you really do miss those lessons that the Lord is trying to teach us, because you're just like, no, I know everything I need to know. So I don't know why this is so difficult. I don't know why I have to wait so long, because I already know what I'm going to do in this situation or what decision I'm going to make or whatever. So fall in love with what you don't know and be patient during those seasons of waiting, because it really is a lifelong thing. You're always waiting on something. So we might as well learn how to wait on those things well. So we're going to wrap this episode up in prayer. So please pray with us. Dear Lord, I just thank you for this day. I thank you for giving us the opportunity to come out here to the studio and talk about some things that we've been working through, some things that we've been thinking about as we are on the road to becoming better leaders, and as we are striving to achieve that title in life, that we would be able to be good leaders for others and that they would be able to look up to us, in that we learn the things that you're trying to teach us and we wait well and we are humble and we don't act like we know everything. I pray that that would be something that each and every one of us could say about ourselves, that we are learning what you want us to learn and we are functioning in your will for our lives, and that we are trying to follow you as best we can at every turn. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right, guys, thank you so much for listening, and be sure to download this episode and any that you may have missed. Mm-hmm. We are getting close to 15,000 downloads, and we are really trying to just hit that milestone and continue to grow the show for the glory of the Lord and just reaching people with topics just like we talked about today. People need to hear the gospel. They are in need of these things, and we just want to be a voice in this generation of the truth and allowing people to realize that there is a different type of lifestyle that we can live, and we can live for eternity. We can live with a kingdom mindset. It is more than possible. And we just want to encourage people in that. So be sure to download this episode and any that you may have missed. And we will talk to y'all next Monday. Bye, guys.